online program here at thecommentary.ca. This morning I'm joined by Jean-Marc Léger, president of Léger Marketing. He's part of a new project called Voice of the People, a worldwide survey on the significant issues of the day. They've just published their findings in a highly readable and fascinating book, Voice of the People, 2006, What the World Thinks on Today's Global Issues, 1995 from Transcontinental Books, from Canada to Sub-Saharan Africa to the United States to the Philippines, Poland to Hong Kong, and points in between in 68 countries. Over 5,000 interviewers polled 53,749 citizens on the issues that concern them. What's on their minds is fascinating. Please welcome to the Planta on the Line program, Jean-Marc Léger. Good morning, Mr. Léger.
Good morning.
Thanks for joining us. I've always been interested in asking pollsters about how pollsters assure that the findings that they find are accurate, and that they're accurate as possible, and I guess reflective of the general population or the general citizenry that they're trying to poll.
Yeah, exactly. That's a good question, exactly. It's the same question you could ask to the doctors, why they have to be so accurate. So it's part of our job. Here it's different, you know, because I supervise this work. It is the largest poll ever conducted across the world. And when I say that, it's because we did the survey in the middle of the jungle. We did the survey here in Canada. We did the survey everywhere in the world in 68 countries. And if the technique is the same, the way we will apply the survey is not the same. So the main techniques, you know, to do a good survey, three things. You must ask the right questions, to interview the right people, and to well interpret the information. So, but you have to adapt to some cultural differences. For example, in Nigeria, when you arrive at that, it's a big country, 130 million of population, but they break down in 200 different ethnic groups. So large, so important. So you have to be really, really accurate to be sure that the interviewers come from the right ethnic groups, because you will not have the right answer. So you have to segment it by some ethnic groups. You have to take care about security of those people also, you know. It's almost a rally there. We have to send a jeep with our interviewers, with a supervisor, with the first aid kit, with food supplies, and they went in the jungle for 3 weeks. So at the end of this process, where I'm doing this example, some of them were put to jail. Others never came back. So you will have some amazing story when we're doing that kind of study. So from Canada point of view, it's so easy to do a survey. So we have our phone call in Winnipeg. They called people, and the rate of answer is so high here in Canada compared to the rest of the world. And we're doing that from our call center. Compare how we should do that in Latin America and Indonesia, everywhere.
Now, is it true that the rate of answer in Canada is high? Because you get all these things about the do not call list and people not wanting to answer phone calls, you know, at dinner time. Do you find that you get a lot of people in Canada answering questions for polls?
It's one of the highest rate, just behind Norway, Finland, and Sweden. You know, people like to answer a survey if it's the real survey. If it's not someone who wants to sell something, if it's not telemarketing. So when you do a survey among those issues, for example, we discuss poverty, religion, we're discussing about hunger, we're discussing about leadership, democracy, about immigration, people like to give their answer. So the rate of response is really high here in Quebec, less in cities like Toronto, or Montreal, and maybe Vancouver. Much less, but except that across the country is so easy.
Now you said that this is a first in terms of the scale of this.
Yeah.
This was not undertaken by Léger by themselves. It was Léger, you
and
yourself.
Gallup. I was elected last May member of the Gallup International Board. So we're seven across the world who manage this organization, and my duty was to publish that book. So it's the first time, because of VOP, the Voice of the People study, Gallup did that study since 20 years. But it's the first time we structured this survey to publish a book and to share with the general population our findings.
Now, what are some of the countries that aren't included? Because I noticed that there are 68 countries, but obviously there are some countries that you can't get into for obvious reasons. What's not included in the survey?
You know, overall, all across the world, 192 countries are recognized by the United Nations. So in that, we had some difficulties in Arabic countries. We had some difficulties in China, for example. We were not successful to do a survey there. So I had to sign a document that I could ask a few questions on marketing stuff, but nothing on social or political issues. I could not ask someone in China, in Egypt, or in Vietnam, for example, I could not ask them if they like or not their leader.
Really?
So, but in Egypt and Vietnam, we did the survey on the other issue. And in China, we were only successful in Hong Kong.
Is that right? Now, talk to us about some of the things that you did find out. What was the top concern? Was it the gap between the rich and the poor?
Yeah, we have two things. So we have a general information and also where the Canada is in the, compared to the rest of the world. So generally, you know, that poverty is the main issue all over the world. Fight against poverty is more important than terrorism, unemployment, or economic problems. So in Canada, for example, 26% grant more importance to the fight against poverty than all other issues. And it's everywhere in the world. We have some exceptions. In the United States, for example, it's the same level. Terrorism is the same level, obtained the same level than poverty. But poverty is real. Poverty is everywhere. You know, we found when we did our analysis that 800 million of population had earned more than $25,000 per year. Compare on the other part, 2.7 billion of the people all around the planet earn less than $400 per year. So, and the gap between the rich and the poor is higher and higher every day.
Now, obviously, it's a concern of people, but it's not a concern or not a priority for our leaders, whether they be in Canada or in the United States. So talk to me about how this survey will help our leaders, and will it help our leaders in terms of narrowing their focus or changing their priorities? Do you think it could do that?
Oh, but it's so clear. That's a good question, because that's why people turn away from politicians, because they don't concentrate themselves on what people consider to be the main issue. For example, Canadians find that most politicians are disconnected from reality. At the last federal election, you know, nobody talked about poverty. They talk about other issues. So it's people want to change the government, but not exactly the government they obtain now. So that they are disconnected with the rest of the people. And poverty is so important. What people don't understand, in the study we did, we clearly shows the link with poverty, with corruption, violence, terrorism. So those issues like terrorism are just only the consequence of the poverty problem all over the world. So you will find half of the people more and more rich and connected, wired with the internet and with a lot of money. And on the other side, you will find more and more people who are poor, without any internet collection, without any money.
We're talking with Jean-Marc Léger from Léger Marketing about one of their latest projects, Voice of the People 2006, What the World Thinks on Today's Global Issues, 1995 from Transcontinental Books. I guess it's distributed by Random House in Canada. Now, to talk to us about cynicism in Canada. How do Canadians react to our own leaders? You mentioned this disconnect between the people and the politicians. But how do we react to not only public figures, but also people in the private sector? Do we trust them, or are we highly cynical?
Both. The people are highly cynical. You know, we believe strongly in our political system, but not in our politicians. Look, few information we discovered in the book. So the Canadian results on democracy are disappointing. So 79% of Canadians believe in our democracy system. So, or maybe I should say that they said that it's the least worst system. But 66% believe that the election are held fairly and freely here in Quebec, in Canada, in Quebec and in British Columbia, everywhere in the country. So we rank at this level 18 in the world. But on the other side, only 36% say the country is governed by the will of the people. So So the gap between, yes, the system's good, and the quality of the people who govern by the will of people is so large, and it's one of the largest in the world. This can be mainly explained by the fact that the people was the survey was conducted last June at the end of the Gomery Commission. So probably that that creates some distortion in the information. But the level of criticism ranks above the world average now here in Canada. So we're not best of the class. We're really in the average on that thing. Because normally, if I do the survey again in 2 years, I think the democracy will be, the result on democracy will be much better than what we measured.
You said that Canada ranks 18th in the world in terms of people believing that it's the least corrupt or the least worst system.
Yeah.
Countries that aren't necessarily, that we don't regard as democratic, is democracy what they want? Did you find that?
Oh, no, exactly. For example, we found that, you know, who could give lesson on democracy? We found countries like Turkey, we find more Turks who said that their country is governed by the will of the people than Britons, Italians, French, or German. And we know that we have some difficulties. They have some difficulties to join the European Association.
Right.
And we found also the majority of the African people said the election was not free, was not fair. People manipulate the results. But at the end, the guys who's there is governed by the will of the people at more than the democracy in Europe and in North America. So we will find more Americans happy with the way they govern than you will find European or North American people.
Religion. We're just after Easter when we're talking. A number of polls have come out in the mainstream press about how religious Canadians are.
Yeah.
In your survey, what did you find? Are Canadians more religious than some of the other people around the world, or are we less religious?
Less and less. So overall, it's 66% of the people all over the planet who said they are a religious person. In Canada, it's 58%. So it's we rank 18 on this issue also. But more important, we found in that book that more rich you are, less religious you are. So that means the most poorer country are also the most religious country. In Africa, for example, 91% of Africans said they are religious. 82% of people who live in Latin America said they are religious, compared to less than 20% in Eastern Europe, or compared to 55% in Asia. So, and more the people are rich, less they think about the religion, or less they believe in the religion.
That's fascinating. We could explain that, but that it takes up so much time and then probably be out of our whatever we're supposed to concentrate on. Immigration. Canada is known as a country of immigrants. I guess the United States as well. I didn't realize that until the recent debate over whether to allow an amnesty for people for illegal aliens. How do you find immigration in other countries, such as Turkey or in other European countries or in Africa?
Yeah. You know, our question is immigration is little, and it's a sneaky, because we could not ask to the people if they are racist. They will say no. So the way the pollster use it, we use that kind of question. Generally speaking, do you think immigration is a good thing or a bad thing for your country? So that's the way we measure that. And Canada ranked the fourth most open country all over the world. So 74% of Canadians said this. They said it's a good thing, with only 19% said it's a bad thing. So compare, for example, to Turkey, to the Turks, only 7% say it's a good thing, and 87% say it's a bad thing. So we could say that the Turks are the most racist country. So immigration is important because it's one of the differences between Canada and the rest of the world. You know, Canada is different, not only because we're speaking English and French and we're in North America, but the book clearly describes what makes Canada a special country and shows that Canada is different from the rest of the world on four things. First, we live in a more tolerant society. The immigration factor is one of the best. We're number fourth all over the world, but we have other things also. We have a stronger sense of community. For example, we asked a question about volunteerism, and here 57% said they did that last year, and we are ranked number second all over the world. We are more preoccupied with the environment. So yes, poverty is our first preoccupation, but environment is the second here in North America, and we rank 10th all over the world. So fourth for the immigration, second for volunteerism, 10th for environment, and we live in a more democratic society. Yes, we don't have all the results we have, but we rank 18th in the democratic country. So that's why Canada is different than the rest of the world. We tried so many times in the past to compare Canada or to explain why in Canada we obtain that kind of result. For the first time in that book, we could benchmark with all our friends all over the world. So if you live in Canada and you want to compare to France, you want to compare to the United States, you want to compare to the rest of the world, you will find those four differences.
About the Canadians feeling that their country is democratic, did that change in terms of the regions within Canada, like in the West, was it different than the result that you found in Ontario or Quebec or in the Maritimes, or is it consistently across the country that we feel that our institutions and our politicians are, that we generally think that the system is democratic?
Yeah, generally, but you will find three regions in Canada. British Columbia and Quebec will have the same perceptions. They're really unhappy with what's happened at the Montgomery Commission, and they believe less in our democratic system. Ontario and Alberta will feel the same way. So they are less cynical, and they accept more what's happened. And the province, Atlantic provinces and prairies, they don't care about that.
Really?
Yeah.
Now, I want to go back to immigration for just a sec. You say that 19% of Canadians think it's a bad thing. Did you go into some of the reasons that they thought why it was bad for the country?
Yeah. You know, when we have 68 different countries, you will have 68 different answers. For example, the Turkey, Bosnia, Macedonia, Bulgaria, Kosovo, Serbia, Croatia, South Africa, Ukraine, Russia, those people are the countries who are more racist than the others. But also because they have some war, so the link is so clear. When these countries had some ethnic problems, internal problems, and they have some war, that's clearly impact their perception. So on the other side, you will find some country like Spain, Iceland, Canada, Nigeria, Malaysia, countries where you will not find that kind of war problem.
I guess one of the things that I was fascinated with in media coverage, and not only that, but in public perception that I read in the media last fall, there was this increase of gang and gun violence in urban centers in Toronto and Vancouver. A lot of people at the time sort of tied that in with the ethnic groups that were in the country and immigration. Did that come up in the survey that you did of Canadians?
But we did the survey before. Canada was done in June, and it was it took 3 months to do the international survey. So all June, July, and August. And after that, we wrote the chapters until now. So it was before. But, you know, the Toronto problem, Toronto's problem and New York's problem, is we always have that kind of problem in the major cities. And people are afraid of that. It's the perception on the security problem is so different in the main cities than outside the main cities.
This has been absolutely fascinating, and I know we could talk for hours, but I want to ask you a final question. Overall, in terms of directing this project, did you find it enjoyable and obviously fascinating, but did you enjoy the process?
Well, you know, it was amazing for me. It's probably one of my best experiences in my life, you know, to manage the 5,000 interviewers in 68 countries and manage particularly the 10 best posters in the world who wrote... each wrote an article in this book. So to work at the international level is so different than to work at a provincial level or city level, and that gave us a lot of new information and new way in our business. It was amazing, and I hope people will have as much pleasure reading the book as much as I had to rewriting this book.
And it's
something so different. You will have a lot of statistical information about what's happened across the world. For the first time, you will have exactly the information of the feeling of those people without the U.S. media interference or filter. We were directly connect and wired with the people in the 54,000 people who answered this survey. So it was an amazing experience.
And you said that it'll take place again in another 2 years, or?
Normally we're working, we'll see the impact on the market if people really like that and really want to compare. I know that the young people really like that kind of book. You know, with all the discussion I had since I published that book, it's partly the young generation who really appreciate that because they always had a lot of experience, international experience, because they studied outside Canada, because they have friends outside Canada, and because they want to travel, they want to do business everywhere. So in this book, they will find something for them. The second group is the business people. They want new information and fresh information about what's happening in Latin America. Is it possible for me to invest in this country? So this was the second level. And the third one, I hope, is the university and all the education structure. I think it's a good book to work on.
Well, thanks very much for joining us today, Jean-Marc, and continued good luck with this book.
It's a pleasure, and I hope next year maybe we'll have another discussion on other issues.
Oh, I'm looking forward to it.
Thank you.
Jean-Marc Léger from Léger Marketing. Do pick up the book, Voice of the People, 2006. It's 1995 from Transcontinental Books. It's not a big book, but it's full of statistics, as Jean-Marc said, and it is absolutely a fascinating